Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Today we are joined by McKenna Morgan from Top Shelf Gaming as Marcus becomes a master chef, Valerie falls into the Black Mirror, then we discuss the Nintendo Switch and ask, how are the ways we experience gaming changing? All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome back to Trust Circle, and welcome to you four to the Trust Circle.
Ooh, nice.
We are TopShelfGaming.net's number one and only podcast, Marcus, not a word. I am your host, Devin Valdivia, and I am joined once again by my wife, Valerie.
Hi, I'm here.
And you sound so, you're like a little mouse, you're like a little tiny mouse today.
Beep, beep, beep.
I'm here.
We're joined by Marcel, the show.
Oh, I love that show.
Also with us, as always, here we go, the order. Top Shelf Gaming's editor-in-chief, founder, crazy person, and resident stutterer, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghetti. It's so good to see you today.
And for the second week in a row, we have a guest, not Kerrigan. Our guest today is McKenna Morgan.
Hello.
How's it going?
Things are pretty groovy.
Awesome.
I like that word, groovy.
Yeah, bring it back.
Oh, yeah, I use it often.
We picked the good one.
Probably too much.
So we are your four...
Not enough!
Yeah. No, we got to bring it out more. We are your four podcast pilots for the week. Every week on Wednesday mornings, if we're doing our jobs right, we post, and every week we take a topic about video games and have a conversation that hopefully takes a video game and non-video game perspective.
Yeah.
Cool.
This show is legit.
Weird.
Just let me say that. There's nothing like this out there.
You would say that.
I would.
You would say that.
Because there's nothing else like this out there.
It's true. We searched it on Google. Otherwise, we couldn't tell.
Yeah. Our SEO is on point.
But before we get to our topic for the week, we have two things to do. And the first thing is to pick Valerie's word. So, Valerie...
I'm gonna create a jingle. And
there you go. We
next
need a
week,
jingle.
Yes.
We're just gonna have some like little thing, and it's gonna chime us in whenever we get.
You
to
use that cow from last week. Just bring in Bessie.
Bessie the heifer.
Our resident artist.
Yes.
So every week Valerie gets a word, because you slightly less into the games than the three of us.
One could say.
One could say that, but because of that. Chances are high that myself, McKenna, and Marcus are probably going to go off on our own little space adventure, and you're going to feel lost, but you got to bring us back in. You got to throw that rope and lasso us. We're going to give you a word, call it that word at any point, and you get control of the conversation. So, pick a word. I don't have a theme for the week.
Going off your metaphor just now, how about, should I do gravity, or should I do Sandra Bullock?
What are the connections to either?
Sandra Bullock?
You know, you're like, if you feel lost in space, just send out a rope and like...
Okay.
You know, that Oscar-winning film.
I was thinking that...
Bullocks.
Bullocks.
No, that sounds like...
That sounds like something else.
That's the joke.
I'm sure Sandra doesn't appreciate that.
Apparently nobody here likes humor.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was that kind of show.
Well, we are not. It's a comedy podcast, apparently.
Yeah, it's a comedy podcast.
All right, so what's it going to be?
For comedy lovers. Spinky.
Spinky.
More on that later.
Yeah.
Let's do... Sandra.
Sandra.
All right. Sandra.
So whenever you hear Sandra, know that Valor is about to blow our minds with... something, or just, you know...
It just means I'm confused.
With her ignorance. She's going to
blow
her mind.
Us away with
like,
I'm going to drop the opposite of knowledge.
You know what Sandra means?
What is this? Let's drop some hard-hitting questions here.
Yeah.
If only the moderators of our presidential debates had a secret word they could use.
Oh, I really don't want to know Trump's secret word.
The word is excuse me, and I think the problem is it just doesn't work.
Yeah. All right, now that we have our word in place, let's recap our weeks. Let's start with our guest, McKenna.
Hi. Okay, well...
Actually, you know what? Pause. Who the heck are you?
Oh, well, McKenna Morgan. Really cool to be here. First time on a podcast. No pressure.
First time for everyone.
let's see, things that actually happened to me recently. Oh, my birthday's actually coming up on the 24th. Really excited for that. I went home, had some time with my parents. It was really awesome. I fixed a great dinner.
What did you make?
Oh, probably like one of the greatest roasts ever. Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
What animal was roasted?
Oh, you know, stuff from space. Don't want to go into details. I'm kidding. It was a cow.
Soylent.
Yeah.
Num.
Yeah, really tasty. And then I actually got a couple of cool gifts. My first gift was from my aunt, who gave me the mother of all greatest Legos ever. A Lego Millennium Falcon from the recent Star Wars movies.
Spaceship!
Oh my gosh, the thing was massive. Like, I could actually barely lift the thing. It was amazing. And it had all the little cool characters, you know, Finn, Rey, Han Solo.
How long did it take to build?
Oh my god, I spent two nights on that thing. No sleep!
Is there a little BB-8?
Oh, it's so cute. It's adorable. It's so cute. I would sleep picking up it. It's so cute. And you gush about it for like 10 minutes or so, which is what I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then my parents...
BB-8? More like baby-8.
Oh, it's so cool. And the second gift was probably the greatest gift I ever actually received from my parents. It was tickets to actually go see Mel Brooks, the guy who made Blazing Saddles and Spaceballs. Mel Brooks, Groucho Marx, and Weird Al Yankovic are the three people who've made up the basis of my humor ever since I was a kid. And he's one of my heroes. I respect the things he does, and he's just an all-around great guy. And every time I actually hear the whoosh, he rode a blazing saddle from Blazing Saddles, I immediately stop everything I actually do, including schoolwork, unfortunately, and watch it. All
right. So this sounds like it's been a really good birthday.
It's been a pretty great birthday.
Yeah, you brought your cake to our meeting today, and we all feasted. So thank you for existing.
What kind of cake was it?
It was chocolate, of course.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. How was the frosting level?
It was a fantastic ratio. Good ratio.
That's what kills me on cakes most of the time is the level of frosting. Mostly if it's too high. I can almost deal with it if it's too low.
Yeah.
If I'm eating like some frosting with a little bit of cake.
Yeah.
Well, that's what makes cupcakes garbage.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate all cupcakes. Yeah. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but you know.
But I just did.
But I just did. Oh, you just...
Well, that's pretty great. I wish I had a Millennium Falcon.
Well, too bad.
Yeah,
wait till your birthday.
Yeah,
you won't let me have a Millennium Falcon here. She made me get rid of so many of my...
Not get rid. That makes it sound like I let them on fire.
It makes it sound like you did what you did.
They're safe and sound at his parents' house.
So he still has them. Well,
still has them.
It's not here.
It's not here.
Yeah, okay.
We can't fill that in 750 square feet.
Oh, shit. What's the actual size, Millennium?
Okay, shelves, yeah.
What is this site called? Top Shelf, you know?
So, McKenna, what do you do at Top Shelf Gaming?
Oh, I mostly actually write articles. Most recently, I actually started getting to VR. It's one of those things that I just suddenly took an interest in, and watching so many YouTubers actually do VR, it was amazing. And then just a couple of days ago, I actually got to go to this really great event at USC.
We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that, yeah. Sorry, I don't want to gush about
it. Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing!
Yeah, stick around for the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, I also actually really do love writing about story elements in video games. I mean, I really actually do like paying attention to the different tropes, the different types of character development, all that sort of stuff. I'm planning to become a fiction writer when I actually graduate. And let's see, most recent game that I actually watched with a pretty good story, the new Uncharted was a pretty good story.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Really like the Over-Under arc with Nate.
Yes. We had a pretty good discussion about Nate a couple weeks back.
We did.
About how he became a terrible monster of a human being. But it was alright. Well, cool. It's good to have you on board.
Thanks.
We're hoping to grab most or all of this year's interns.
Yeah,
that'd bring them on board.
That'd be awesome.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Well, Marcus, how was your week?
My week was... Oh, my God. Okay. So, similar to your birthday story, you...
You also got a Millennium Falcon. Gosh darn it!
I did.
You're not part of the Millennium Falcon Club.
You're not. Get out of here.
I'm going to get one that's going to be like Mega Bloks.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Like, no. They all fit together.
It doesn't even count. Little baby toys. So, but you cooked... For your birthday, I've also been cooking a lot this week. I made 2 new recipes, and they both turned out really, really good. And I'm very happy. And I'm low-key obsessed with Gordon Ramsay.
You're low-key obsessed. Low-key
or high-key?
I really like Gordon Ramsay, okay? MasterChef is one of my favorite shows, mm-hmm. and... I watch it every summer, and then I watch MasterChef Junior, and watching all of that, I just, like, it's really...
It's amazing watching his change in temperament from MasterChef to MasterChef Junior.
He's
way worse than the kids.
Yeah. And so I made this really amazing Cajun chicken spinach fettuccine Alfredo that had, like, spinach... fettuccine noodles, but also actual spinach that was reduced in this really creamy Alfredo sauce, and I made so much more than I could actually eat.
Are you saying that you ate a vegetable?
Yes.
You ate willingly?
Yes.
Not under coercion?
Not under coercion.
And you were aware the whole time that it was a vegetable before you even ate it.
Okay, I know I don't love... It's not that I don't love vegetables.
It's that you hate them.
It's just that, like, I kind of like to make that cut off at at potato.
Mm-hmm.
And
the least vegetable.
That vegetable potato.
It's basically ground bread.
Oh yes, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I'm trying to get more comfortable with the idea of eating
colors.
Vegetables mm-hmm. regularly.
That just speaks to Gordon's power.
Yeah.
To turn vegetables into a thing that you can eat.
He's actually, like, I'm watching what his chefs are mm-hmm. making, and I'm doing that more, and I'm trying to incorporate more
breaking down
of these things. Yeah. I'm so actually, I eat onions more than any other
vegetable.
Oh yeah,
onions are a fantastic vegetable.
They're like super versatile. They're good in almost every savory dish. I pretty much incorporate onions into everything. I've learned how to, like, cut them in, like, 5 ways, and I'm doing a lot of stuff with onions. I don't really like spinach, but I'm trying to use it more because it's really healthy.
Yeah, you can kind of just hide that in everything, too.
Yeah. I won't go anywhere near mushrooms.
They're pretty good.
Can't do that.
We'll figure out a way.
Mushrooms are pretty versatile, too, you know?
Yeah, you know, versatile as in...
You know, if you make mushrooms correctly... They almost taste like meat.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not...
Just throwing that out
I'm not
there.
Entertaining these thoughts at all.
As someone who married a vegetarian, I think about things that almost taste like meat.
Devin's like, if I close my eyes and pinch my nose, it almost tastes like
almost
meat.
Almost there.
Yeah, so I just cooked a lot this week, and I really just kind of want to slowly build up my repertoire of dishes. Like, I like...
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to just make something without using a recipe and just be
just
able to...
Wing
like,
it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make you this promise. When you become proficient enough to start your own secondary food-based podcast,
yeah,
then you can bring that Ladies and Spaghetti talk over there and leave it out of this podcast.
And you know what that podcast will be called?
Ladies and Spaghetti?
Top Chef.
Top Chef Cooking!
That'll probably get you sued, but good, I'll let that.
I like it. All right.
you have to spell chef with an S. That's how you'll avoid that litigation.
Top yes.
Top
chef.
Top chef, the Ellis Island.
Trust circle, top chef.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, Valerie. Let me know about... Oh, we did a fun thing this week.
We went to Color Me Mine.
Yes.
We did.
I forgot.
Yeah, and then Marcus and I both painted Overwatch-themed ceramics.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus painted a little girl statuette, which he turned into May.
Mm-hmm.
And I painted a little burb, which is going to be Ganymede.
Yes.
Bastion's Bird. So those are currently...
Deep cuts.
I know. Hey, I'm knowledgeable in one game, and I'll be knowledgeable in
that
game.
She comes home, and she's like, I played Ganymede. And I'm like, was that English? And she had to like remind me, like, hey, loser, that's Bastion's Bird.
She knows more about Overwatch than you do now.
It's the one game I know stuff about.
Yeah, it's a pretty good game.
It's a pretty good game.
Yeah. Understatement of the year.
They're currently being kilned by the fine gentleman at Color Me Mine.
Torbjorn's we'll just back there, just hammering them out.
Yeah. Molten Core!
I just had that image.
So we did that, and then we hosted people at our apartment last night. This is like 75% more social than I normally am, so I'm just like... I feel like a sociolite.
You are all tuckered out.
I feel like Zelda Fitzgerald. Just like out on the town every night.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, and then last night we watched the new season of Black Mirror, which is a show that started out as a, I believe, BBC show. I assume all shows that come from Britain are BBC.
Yeah.
This might not be, but I'm just going to go with it. But this is the first season that's a Netflix original. So... as opposed to the last two seasons being set in England, this one's, at least its first episode, is set in America. And it's great watching for anyone who enjoys kind of like Twilight Zone levels of disquietude.
Ooh.
And anyone who is morbidly fascinated with the technological landscape of the day.
It's basically creepy Twilight Zone with technology
as
its theme.
They kind of like...
That's cool.
They're like, what if this... Because they kind of, like, project based on the rate that technology develops. Like, what if this was this way?
Hmm.
And then they base the whole episode's conceit on that.
So, it's basically, like, a modern-day Twilight Zone sort of thing.
It's all anthological? It's an anthology show.
Anthropological.
We know words,
anthropological?
Guys. We have the best words.
All the words.
We have the best words.
And then, like, it took me, like, a whole season to get the name, you know... Black Mirror. Look at that phone in your pocket,
everyone out there
in podcast land.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, pretty good name for a show.
Yeah.
Like when your screen goes dark and you see your face staring back at yourself during your Netflix marathon.
That's the
Black Mirror.
That is the worst.
You're like,
that's terrifying.
That's actually kind of scary.
You're like, that's what I look like right now.
The worst thing is because I just started playing Severed on 3DS and I had to
platformer.
It's not funny. It's just not funny.
It's pretty funny.
It's not funny
to anyone else but me and you.
Sandra?
Yeah.
It's not funny to Sandra over here.
Sandra, so do you know what a platformer is?
I know what like a platform is.
A platform game?
It's like something you stand on.
So Mario, you jump on things to get to
literally, that's where that word comes from?
Yeah.
Well, no, the word platform is not derived from video games.
But platformer.
No, I know. I know the etymology of platform is deeper than video games.
I just need to make sure that we weren't.
But it's just because there's like platforms that you're actually jumping on. So I was telling Devin that I was playing this game called Severed,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, "Oh, you mean that platformer?" I'm like, "That's what?" Because the game is not a platformer at all.
Yeah.
Like. There's not even a jump button, so there's no platforms to...
Couldn't if you tried.
Yeah, it is... There is no way that, that is conceivably a platformer. It's like calling 51st States a horror movie. It's like...
Well...
It's not.
One could argue.
And so that is the joke, which... It's one of those things.
Well, speaking of jokes,
you have the best jokes.
Last night, Valerie, as you mentioned, we had some friends over. Marcus, you were one of those friends.
Oh yeah, well,
you'll be happy to know we consider you a friend.
Yes, you've made it into our very exclusive club.
After
not because
23 years,
not because we're picky, but because we're hermits. no, but we...
This is... You are in your natural habitats right now in your apartment.
It was the three of us and two of our old college friends. And we had some pizza, and we played the new Jackbox Party Pack, which just came out, I think, this past week, or maybe the week before, very recently. And that's a fun, dumb thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fun, dumb thing.
If you have
trademark
a TV
that.
And everyone has a phone, like...
So... Go to town. The like, a lot of people have actually heard of You Don't Know Jack. I've actually, like, a surprising amount of people who know You Don't Know Jack.
That's actually a really popular game.
It's a trivia game. It's been around for a long time. They started making, like, other pseudo-related and then less related as time went on, trivia games as well. But these new ones, they made three of these party packs now, hence the Party Pack 3.
Yeah.
It's like they number them sequentially.
It's like they're sequential.
The way these work is you buy them, and you can buy them, like, on anything. If they're on all the major consoles, they're on PC and Mac.
Apple TV.
They're on Apple TV. They're on
Roku.
The Fire TV, Roku, like, anything. You can buy them just on, like, an iPad.
Yeah.
And so that's where you play the game from. But to play the game, you use your phone, which by now everyone's going to have a smartphone, more or less. And so you just, the game starts, it gives you a code, so you go to the website and you enter your code and then you're playing, and so your controller is your phone. And so it just makes it really easy just to get everyone involved. When I was youth leading, I would bring in, we play Drawful. I just tell the kids to bring in, make sure you bring your phones tonight, and we'd have like 30 kids playing Drawful in the room, and it was great, because it all just worked super easy. So we played Party Pack 3, and there's a new game called TKO, which is probably their smartest idea yet. So it took us a few times to get there. The first time we had to quit because one of our friends had to leave. The second time we got bumped out of the game right before it actually got going.
Yeah.
But the third time was the charm, and it was well worth the wait. So you start by just drawing a bunch of stuff on your phone. You just draw three things. It just says, draw whatever. And the art style is like old, like, 80s anime, like, television show. You know, it's just a silly, dumb setup.
Art style of the interface.
Art style is just silly. It looks like weird, like, Pokemon meets Dragon Ball Z.
It's kind of like, if anybody remembers that app game from a few years ago, Draw Something.
Yeah.
You kind of draw something that looks like that.
Yeah. So that's the interface. You have a couple of colors. You can have, like, two brush sizes.
You just draw your finger paint on your phone.
Draw whatever you want, and everyone draws three. And then after that, it says make up, like, catchphrases or taglines you would see on a t-shirt, and you just write as many as you can. I think I made, like, 10 of them.
Yeah.
And then so after that whole phase, which takes a while, so you gotta stick through it, it matches them all up, and then it feeds each player on their phones a different assortment of drawings and catchphrases from everyone's creations, and then you mix and match the drawings to phrases and make your own t-shirt. And then once you make your shirts, everyone then votes on the shirts. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
After we all unanimously, or we chose the favorite shirt, there's literally a button you can click, a little dollar sign. You can buy a shirt.
You can buy the shirt.
It will make you that shirt for $18.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So the two shirts they ended up winning, the second place was a drawing of a very amazingly amateur drawing. Was it you or Jordan who drew it?
I drew it.
Marcus drew this.
I think I drew both of them.
A very rough picture. Oh, no, I drew the second one. Yeah. A very rough image of Donald Trump yelling wrong. And the tagline, which I paired with it, if I do say so myself, was, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
who's your daddy?
And I thought about that.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But Our winner was my also amazingly amateur drawing of the one and only Ken Bone.
Ken Bone!
and the tagline, and, you know,
I chose this tagline.
Slightly, I'll call it PG rating here.
Yeah.
The tagline was Bros Before Hoes.
Oh.
the sweet Ken Bone portrait.
Can we upload the GIF we saved of it?
Well, you know
in
what?
Show notes?
I always use art for the podcast episodes. I think I know where I was going to be.
What art we have?
And it's great. There's Quiplash is fun. It's a lot of what I like about the newer games, what they've been leading into. There actually isn't even a version of You Don't Know Jack in this party pack.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But they seem to be leaning towards user generated gameplay.
Yeah.
One of the critiques in their past games is that, you know, there's not enough material to really last. It's kind of like when you had apples to apples.
Yeah.
And you run it, it's like, oh, I've seen these cards over and over again.
You know it's
yeah.
there. You're like,
you know you're
going to
pull the Helen
now.
Keller card. You know you're going to get, you know...
Bees.
You know you're going to get bees.
Mm-hmm.
So they're adding more and more options to have users create the content. Or even in Quiplash that has provided content, there's an option to then also create your own cards as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a really smart idea. I think it's super clever. The humor is pretty on point. We won't even talk about Trivia Murder Party, but that was also a pretty standout
game. I think that's my favorite one.
It's really pretty good. Yeah. Good times. If you guys need a good, just easy party game, can't recommend those enough. You can buy some of them, you know, it's a collection of games. You can buy some of them one-off. It's awesome. So, we're going to start moving into our topic of the week, which is going to be about the Nintendo Switch. This means nothing to Valerie because Valerie knows nothing about the Nintendo Switch. But during our break, Valerie is going to watch the reveal video that Nintendo released earlier this week about the Nintendo Switch. If you have not seen that yet, I would recommend that you pause this podcast, go watch that video, and
unless
then join us afterwards. Unless you're driving.
Unless you're driving, yeah.
Kids, stop driving.
Yeah, if you're a kid driving, just don't. It's like a 3.5-minute video. And then we're going to discuss that and some other things. So we'll see you with our voices after the break.
We'll see your ears.
Hello and welcome back from the break. That we actually took a break today. We took like a good full-on break. We got water. There were leaks.
There was drama.
We had an adventure.
WikiLeaks?
Yeah. Julian
came by and just shared some knowledge with us. No, we had some adventures. But on to our topic/question of the week, which this week is, how are the ways we're experiencing gaming changing? There are a lot of ing words in that question, but you know
it's
what?
It's Durin City here.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, I want to talk about things like VR, for instance, the rise of mobile games and just the way that console gaming, PC gaming is changing. But first, I want to start in with the Nintendo Switch, which was just announced this week. It's Nintendo's new console, and because she just saw the reveal video that came out earlier this week, Valerie, tell me everything you know about the Nintendo Switch. Go for it.
Okay. This will be a little bit fallacious, because I only know what I saw with my eyeballs, and what I saw might not necessarily be the truth. The truth is out there. Anyway, so it looks like you play your games with your little with your thingy.
Hands?
Your controller thing. But then you're like, then you take off these parts, and then you stick them into this thing that's like a Samsung Note. And then you're like, I want to go outside and see the real world. So you go outside, but then you're like, psych, just kidding, I don't want to see the real world. And then you keep playing your video games, because now you can play them outside. And then you're like, your friends are like, hey, come over here. And you're like, okay, friends, I'll come hang out with you. But then you're like, psych, I don't hang out with friends. I'm going to play my game because I brought it with me in my pocket. But then you're like, I hate you, friends. I want to go home. So you take your video game, but then you take the little thingies and you plug them back into your big controller. And then you're like, I hate everybody. I'm going to stay inside and play this game on my big screen. It's like, that's what I got out of that launch video.
I loved it. I loved it. Marcus is speechless.
I'm trying to. That was very accurate.
I editorialized it a little bit.
You did.
Just a little bit.
You put some spin on it.
Put some sauce on it.
A little bit of sauce. A little bit of salt on that, you might say.
A little bit of salt.
Tiny bit of salt.
It's like a nice marinara.
Yeah.
No, in slightly more seriousness, it's like, you can, like, play it, but then it, like, detaches and plugs into this other thing. Like a bigger screen the size of a Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart.
And then you can take that outside, but then you plug the buttons into the Pop-Tart. But then the buttons also come out of the Pop-Tart, and they go into the controller, into the TV.
Now I'm hungry for Pop-Tarts.
All right. You're kind of getting it. And
yeah.
Realize, too, like, we don't have all of the answers.
Yeah, no.
The thing that I did see is it looked like from the video that whenever you unplug, the game pauses, and then when you plug the things back into another thing, it restarts right from where you left off. Is that correct?
That's what. So we actually only have like a little more information than what's been revealed in that video. They haven't talked about any like really much of anything else beyond what's shown in that video. So it's a gaming system from Nintendo. The video starts playing on a TV with a controller, and then you take halves of the controller, basically break the controller in half, attach the two halves.
If the controller is a croissant, you take both sides of the croissant and put them into the Pop-Tart.
Just pick them up, put them on a little Pop-Tart sized screen.
You're just making just like pastries.
I just love carbs, guys. Carbs are so good.
So maybe it's a Voltron analogy.
Bread makes you fat.
Yes.
Ice cream is
vegan. Bread does.
So Nintendo's coming out with a console that can be played both at home on your big screen TV, but then can be switched, if you will, into a mobile handheld.
Into a Pop-Tart.
A Pop-Tart.
Which Pop-Tart. Is sort of where they've always... like this seems like their destiny. They've always been headed this direction.
You think so?
How so?
I think so. I mean,
Sandra, how so?
Oh, let me tell you, Mrs. Bullock. So Nintendo started out, you know, NES home system.
What, Sandra, what even does NES stand
right,
for?
Right,
Nintendo Entertainment System?
Yeah. See?
Nintendo Entertainment System.
You already
system.
Knew that.
You know, there's a lot of words that start with E and a lot of words that start with S.
Yeah,
can't
but how
anything.
Many words start with N?
A lot.
Acronyms.
A lot.
Name two.
NASA.
NCIS.
Okay.
NATO.
NWO.
Okay, stop. We get it. NDA.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the two things Nintendo really became famous from are the original NES and the Game Boy. That's their legacy. And they've always kind of been, and they've had these two parallel tracks of, they have, you know, the NES, the Super Nintendo, the N64, the GameCube, and they've had, you know, the Game Boy, Game Boy Pocket, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, and then they had the DS line, the 3DS line, and they've all been kind of going parallel to each other. And really, when the Wii U came out, along with the 3DS, that was kind of when you know, at least I sort of knew, like, okay, their next step, logically, is just mush them together into a croissant.
You honestly thought that?
I did, absolutely, 100%.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's never crossed my mind.
Yeah, no, from the moment, because the Wii
we
U...
We got a profit over here.
The Wii U literally was the two, you know, so the 3DS, we've explained, you know, it's a handheld with two screens, top and bottom, that's like their thing. The Wii U gave you, in theory, that experience of having the two screens at all times. Because you had the controller that had the screen, so you're guaranteed to have two screens, the TV and your screen. And, you know, they didn't really do much with it because the Wii U was a failure of a console.
Ouch.
But, you know, the moment I saw the Wii, I was like, okay, their next step clearly is to do something like this. Mm-hmm. They're going to merge their two consoles.
Wait, this looks exactly like the Wii U.
Oh.
Or does it not?
So, ooh, good point.
So here... Yeah, Mark, take it.
So here's where it's different, or where we think it's different based off of what we know. Based off of what we know, the Nintendo Switch is not a dual screen.
No, Nintendo has confirmed this.
Okay, yeah. So you're either playing it
mm-hmm.
on the Pop-Tart,
mm-hmm.
or playing it on the toaster, on the TV.
On the oven door with the
either the screen is plugged into the little dock and it's playing on the TV, or it's unplugged and it's only playing on the Pop-Tart screen.
Okay.
So it is no longer both screens are interacting. It's only one or the other.
Okay. I understand.
So
that.
That's
yeah.
where
it's whereas the Wii U, you have the screen and the TV
on at the same time.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is the difference. And the other difference is that, you know, you couldn't bring your Wii. You can bring your Wii about 10 feet away from your TV on the screen.
Enough to take it into the bathroom.
Not that Marcus knows about
the bathroom. Not that I would know. Not that I would play multiplayer games with my friends.
While on the throne.
While defecating. And also winning.
This is a family show.
Are you winning, though, at that point?
He might be winning, but that controller's definitely losing.
It's such an efficient way, because, like, you don't have to pause. I just keep playing. I do my business.
While you poop.
But let's get real. Who isn't just scrolling while they're pooping? Nobody.
Yeah.
Everyone's scrolling.
Yeah, everyone's scrolling.
Everyone brings
their screens. I've seen some things.
You've done it.
If you have never gone to the bathroom and then turned back because you forgot your phone,
mm-hmm.
then you are lying or...
Mm-hmm. Or of a certain age.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No. Like, I've had to, like, pause, like, the functions to retrieve something to do. Like, I'm just throwing that out there.
So, it's the modern newspaper.
Yeah. So the big thing with the Switch, though, is that, you know, it's being marketed fully as a console that you can totally play on your screen, and also within the same product, something fully you could play off a screen. In theory, you could experience exclusively one or the other of those situations. Like, you could buy a Switch and never plug it into a TV. Or you could buy a Switch and never pick it up off of the little docking station there. And that's kind of their thing. They're encouraging you that you can do both and should do both. But that's, like, the big difference. The DS is really something for on the go. You can play on the couch or whatever, but you can't plug it into a TV. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of... That's a bold change, I think.
Yes.
Even if it is something I expected to happen, like, no one else is really doing that. So what are your initial feelings about just this as a concept?
Well, it's kind of weird. I mean, I've seen some concepts where, you know, like the Wii U, you know, motion control systems, things like that. And it looks pretty good. I read up a little bit on it, but, you know, they, at least nothing I've actually haven't seen in the trailer that I watched too. And I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting concept, you know, being able to actually take off the controls off the Pop-Tart or or the Black Mirror.
That
or
really should just be.
It's gonna catch on.
Or the Black Mirror. Hashtag Black Mirror. And I don't know. I mean, it looks cool. I mean, and I
it
like
does
the,
look
the idea.
Cool.
I mean, the idea, you know, you just click it off or pop it off. You know, the pop tart click or
and
something.
That sound.
Yeah,
that snap.
Good. I mean, you know, people actually latch onto things like that.
Oh, yeah,
the outdoor
absolutely.
Stuff all the time. But once again, we've seen these kinds of patterns before with things that might actually, you know, have. Fad like motion controller Wii U stuff, and the Wii U was very popular at the time until people started realizing looking at two screens would get confusing a little bit. Overall, though, I'm actually interested to see how far this actually goes, and what kind of things can actually be done with it. Although I always find it kind of weird that people are playing like go-karts or basketballs and stuff, and then suddenly they stop and say, hey, let's play some games. When I was in high school and middle school and even up to college, I've seen people sitting on park benches playing video games right next to a basketball court.
Yeah.
They're not playing basketball.
Yeah, no. And they're trying to, you know, let's stop like driving our real go-karts to go play Mario Kart in the
back. Oh yeah, it's totally real.
Yeah.
To
real
be
basketball,
fair,
who needs that?
So we're referencing scenes that were in this Nintendo Switch launch.
Hey, I told them to watch it. If you haven't watched it, that's
your
own problem.
Yeah, so if you haven't...
Unless you're driving, drive safe.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, I mean...
Watch it again with my live commentary.
In all these situations, they were playing the Switch in preparation for like playing some parallel real world activity. Although basketball, were they playing basketball?
They played basketball, then took a break to play some hot basketball video games.
Yeah,
on their tiny slivers of.
That is one example that I think is kind of silly.
Yeah.
But, okay, so they showed you being able to play a game with just one half of the controller. Each side of the controller has a thumbstick and four buttons.
Each half of the croissant.
Each half of the croissant.
Do you think there might be some motion control in that or something?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think so.
So
what makes that hard is that all of that tech, like... In order to do that, it starts to cost a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, and the controllers are about the size of, like, an old iPod Nano.
Yeah.
Like, they're small.
Well,
they're a little thicker than that.
They're a little bit longer. I mean, but they are
it's
pretty small.
It's a good, like, size. Like a,
they're, like, the size of a biscotti.
Yeah. I think...
Keeping the metaphor going.
What makes it... I guess kind of difficult is that like these controllers, because they can function independent of the Pop-Tart, so that means that they need some battery source.
Yeah.
And like what is actually charging them, and you know,
one
you know,
AAA
what...
on each one.
Yeah.
Good luck.
single
20 minutes battery.
So it's like I'm curious to see how all of those things work, because that's where this thing is going to fail.
Battery life. So you have three things that are going to require battery life. Mm-hmm. Each side of the controller and the screen if you're on the go. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention connection issues. You know, they promise these kinds of freedoms. You're able to actually pick it up and then walk away and stuff and keep playing the game. Mm-hmm. But I've seen examples of stuff like that in real life, and the connections are next to butt kiss. Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But even trying to connect, like, you know, your phone to, like, an Apple TV or something, you know, most of the time it works okay, but sometimes it just, like, it's not going to work. I mean, it's just not going to work.
Speaking from experience, one of our Jackbox games last night was interrupted by connection issues, sadly.
Yeah.
So, kind of on, you know, this seems like there's a lot to kind of take in as a functionality. Interesting to note, there were no kids in that trailer.
Ooh, good point.
They were a bunch of thrifty kids.
They were all, like you know,
20, 30,
like probably college kids. Yeah. Like every little instance.
I would say older. I would say, like, financially independent, mm-hmm. 23 through, like, late 20s. Attractive, trendy.
Yeah, they're pretty
sexy
hip with it,
people.
Yeah, a bunch of sexy gamers.
Which is a big change for Nintendo, which is, you know, I mean, would you consider, of, like, you know, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, which would you say is the most targeted towards children?
Nintendo?
I mean, Nintendo, because, like, I can't think off the top of my head of any rated M Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they have, like, maybe, like, one or two, but, like, they're the only one with, like, mascots still.
Yeah, well...
They're the cuddliest.
Well, when you think of, like, the NES, like, that mm-hmm. was called the Nintendo Entertainment System mm-hmm. in the United States, but in Japan it was called the Famicom, for Family Computer System. So
that sounds better.
So
mm-hmm. that actually sounds a lot better.
They should have cared.
So Nintendo has, you know, from the beginning, always been very family focused, and has always been
and so.
Even the Wii U branding, it was a bunch of families playing, a bunch of kids playing.
And even looking at look at the Wii U controller. Yeah. Like, it's like thick, shiny plastic with
Pause.
The screen.
Did you hear that thunder?
I did. It's amazing. I'm so happy right
it's
now.
It's lovely.
Oh, wow.
It's like so young.
It's actually raining pretty hard, I think, right? I mean, is it?
Sort of. It probably will.
It's California. It's never raining over here.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, even the Wii U, the most recent system, like, you know, the size and look of the system, like, it still looked kind of like a toy.
Yeah.
This does not look like a toy.
This looks like something I wouldn't, like, it's always one of those things where, like, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that I have a 3DS, you know, or, like, embarrassed to, like, bring it out. Unless
it's just
I'm
like Barbie toys.
yeah, and I feel like this Nintendo Switch looks very modern. It looks very sleek. It's almost
like a phone.
Yeah.
And clearly being marketed.
It's very low profile.
On that angle, like, you want to look cool doing this. You want to go meet that cute girl waiting for your plane.
Yeah.
Holding your Nintendo Switch.
And then not talking to her because you're too.
So
you're too in your game.
Yeah.
Because our topic, you know, is about all the different ways playing games are changing. I want to start bringing in other things here. You know, but thinking about things like VR. VR is something else also that is not being marketed towards kids, partly for the health, you know, mystery concerns of how a kid's brain's going to handle, you know, the weird motion sickness things that really we have no idea how adults really adhere to that. But, you know, none of the, like, I think Oculus has, like, a 13 and over, like, you know, quote-unquote requirement, and I think the other Vive and PSVR are kind of following suit. So we're seeing games in... kind of a real sense, kind of moving away from being mainly a children's industry.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we've talked previously at Valerie, mm-hmm. you know, how it seems like many more Thunder. Awesome. You know, many people still consider video games, like, solely for kids. But marketing is, you know, is seemingly trying to push its way, you know, kicking and screaming towards really our age group.
And this is another topic, so if this is, like, too far off, just, like, redirect me. But do you think that's happening because developers are now really wanting to make the games that they themselves would want to play?
I think it's happening because of this.
Because of the phone.
Because of phones.
Phone.
I don't think...
Black Mirror.
Because of our Black Mirrors. I think that as kids get phones at younger ages, that's where they're getting their games. As, you know, if you're a family and you have a phone plan, you're going to get your phones cheaper than you're going to get game consoles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're going to... And games, Lightning. This is so great.
It's so spoopy here, guys.
$5 is expensive for a phone game.
Mm-hmm.
So as a parent, I can look at, you know, I can buy you a game system. It's going to be $400 up front plus $60 a game. Or I can buy you this phone that was probably free with our plan and your games are $2.
Like, or free.
Or free. Like, I'm taking that option.
Yeah.
And the kids always have it with them. It's easy. It's theirs. So I think having phones and even, like, you know, even tablets is it's making it more viable for video game companies to move towards older audiences because that's
where the buying power
is now. The kids are being satisfied outside of the traditional gaming system.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up too, and I have a little sister. As soon as she was old enough, like, I think like 2 years old, I like got her into video games, and I would always and I would always play with her. And I think one of the first games that I ever gave her was Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always play video games together, and we would always play console games, and I got her a DS, and then she has a 3DS now, and like very early on, like she's been playing video games since she was basically born, and that was something that we always used to share in. Now, and it's really hard for me, and it actually legitimately bums me out. Like, she still has her 3DS, but she doesn't really play it.
Mm-hmm.
She mostly plays mobile games. She plays free games on her phone, and it was such a way that we used to bond. And it was like video games were always something that it was like our thing. And like now she's moved on to mobile games, and so in order for me to connect with her on that level, whenever I visit her, she's 11 now. I always ask her, so what new phone games are you playing right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then I go download it, and then I try to play it, and then that's how we kind of like we kind of still have that bond.
Yeah.
But for me, like, you know, I'm
that's not what your heart is.
No, I'm like still playing console games, and I wish that she still had that drive to play console games too, and I'm starting to accept that for kids these days, that's kind of different, you know? Like, they're now moving towards these things.
I'm just going to point out that you said kids these days.
Grandpa!
Grandpa!
Old Man Marcus. That actually sounds pretty cool.
Old Man Marcus.
Old Man Marcus.
There's, you know, if you ever get to change your PSN name.
Old Man Marcus.
Get rid of...
Shuhei, please let us change our names.
So, McKenna... So, well, first... What we're seeing, I think, is there are more and more different ways to play games now.
Yeah.
You know, arcades are dying, which is its own sad thing. But there's also, like, a weird resurgence of them in, like, some... That's a whole topic we could take on, too. But playing PC games is, you know, becoming more and more differentiated from playing console gaming as PCs become more and more powerful and consoles can't keep up anymore. But we're seeing with the Switch, you know... Marcus, you and me have kind of sparred over this a little bit, but, you know, whatever the Switch's experience is going to be, it's probably going to be less powerful. It's going to definitely be far less powerful than PC. Probably less powerful than even PS4 and Xbox One right now.
Their base.
But it's going to be more powerful than what Nintendo's got right now.
Yeah.
And the experience, because it is going to be this dual experience sort of thing, like, that's going to be a different way to play. And now we have VR coming out. And you can, you know, you have PSVR, which is, you know, kind of... contained. They have things like the Vive, which use like cameras all around the room, and you now have like a
feel
like, yes.
What's a Vive?
So a Vive is another, and you're going to ask this, awesome. So it's another VR helmet.
And double standard, just for further clarification, mm-hmm. VR is virtual reality, just yes. in yeah. case you want
PSVR is PlayStation VR, it's their VR.
Yeah.
So Vive, in addition to having the helmet and controllers, you set up cameras, and then like you clear out a ton of space, you get to have a huge house for this. and you set up cameras, and then it'll track your body as well, so you have like an actual space to move around in virtual reality too. Which is, and depending on the game, like, is a very different way, even within VR, than just with PSVR or with Oculus Rift. So McKenna, because you know, have now experienced VR and think it's this cool, awesome thing, do you think VR is going to eclipse traditional gaming? Do you think it's going to become its own, you know, different branch of things? Like, what do you envision for VR moving forward?
I definitely don't think it's going to actually eclipse consoles and PC games, and nothing like that, no. But it's actually, I mean, you know, years ago, we imagined VR as the sort of, you know, future tech sort of stuff, you know,
yeah.
for something like Cyber Commandos or Tron or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actual virtual reality that consumers can actually buy.
It's here. Like,
it's here.
We did it.
Yeah, exactly. We did it. I mean, yeah. And I mean, as a gaming stuff, I mean, it's really awesome, but imagine the implications for other things like teaching, science, training, things like that. I mean, obviously, it can't completely replace actual physical training and running and all that sort of stuff, but I mean, as a teaching tool, as a way to actually help people through repetition,
mm-hmm.
as a way to actually help people in medical fields actually recover, it has a lot more potential in those areas.
Yeah, you actually wrote
yeah.
a couple things about
on topshelfgaming.net
VR about the different applications. I know you wrote about how it's even being used for sports, right?
Yeah, it actually helps through helps people play players
athletes.
Sorry,
poor boys.
It's about sport. It helps athletes through repetition. They're able to actually see simulations of games and actually you know repeated that sort of stuff. And in a way, it helps train them and it helps actually prepare so that they're a little bit more
The batting cage of the future.
The bat. Oh yes. Oh, I should have actually gone with that. Batting cage of the future. That sounds amazing. But yeah, I mean, it's something that I really actually think can be explored. I mean, and through gaming and stuff, I actually got to experience a couple of VR games at IndieCade on the 15th
mm-hmm.
at USC, and it was amazing. I got to actually play a couple of games. Funkatronic, I think one of them was. Mare, which was a fantastic...
Funktronic Labs is the name of the developer.
I'm sorry. And this other game called Mare, which
yes.
was a beautiful, gorgeous story narrative.
Oh,
huge dork about that. And I also actually got to play a really fun game called Giant Cop, where you got to actually... where you get to actually pick up culprits in a miniature city, and that's really cool.
Sandra,
and,
what's Giant Cop?
And it was really fun. Giant Cop is basically where you're literally a giant cop policing a tiny little city. You get to actually walk around and it's like Godzilla, but you get to actually take a look at tiny little culprits.
Benevolent Godzilla.
If you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you what the moment was for you that made VR click. Because like this is happening for me. It was when we played Farpoint at...
Mm-hmm.
GameStop Expo.
Yes.
And it was when I was holding the controller and I turned like the gun controller and like looked at my hands, turned it like in VR, and I was like, these aren't my hands, but boy, they sure feel look and like looking at like in the, me like moving a gun in a game in the way that would only be possible like if I were doing it myself.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, okay, this is VR. It's real, like we did it. Like what was that moment for you when after you put the headset on? Like, that you, like, realized that this was not, like, going to be some failed piece of tech?
Well, it was probably actually before I actually put on a headset for VR. I watched this one YouTuber, I think it was NerdCubed. you know NerdCubed.
Oh,
it's
yes.
hilarious. He played this one game called The Lab. It was made by the people who made Portal 2
mm-hmm.
and Half-Life. And they actually have these different... demonstrations, where you get to actually walk around a small planetarium-ish situation, or if you get to actually look at a human body and examine it closely through virtual reality, and let's see what else. You get to actually play some games and stuff. And it sort of actually clicked to me, wait a second. These aren't actually games, but these are stuff that you could actually look at and examine and actually learn from it.
It was like presented as a game, but it felt more like educational.
Exactly. They had these 360 cameras that actually put out in random locations that took all these photos and stuff in like places like Italy and Denmark and lots of stuff. And then you get to put the headset on and actually be in those places. It was amazing. That's what clicked with me.
I know for me, so I played VR at IndieCade for the first time back in 2014, back when Oculus Rift was even bought by Facebook. It was, you know, still...
Wait, Sandra, Facebook owns that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Facebook paid billions of,
dollars.
Mostly for the reasons that we kind of talked about, and not for gaming reasons, because... there is potential for VR. Like, even if Oculus and like the headsets as we know them fail, like we have achieved VR. Like as a technology base level, we have achieved that. And so if you think about things that we kind of talked about, you know, the ways you can then interact socially. You know, think of Skype. Now think of Skype like cubed, because now you're in a space and it's real, and you can have like full body avatars that react one on one. Like, there are a lot of just social applications.
Do I want that, though?
Whether or not you want that is a whole different question.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, just that idea is possible.
Just because we can, should we?
Well, no, but even think about MySpace and Facebook. Like, think about MySpace compared to Facebook and how basic MySpace now seems compared to something like Facebook. If I had described Facebook to you back in, like, MySpace days, you probably would have been like, that sounds terrible. I don't want that. And yet, here we are, and it exists. And so, well, yes, there are lots of things that are going to be really hard sells or just aren't going to work because people actually may not want to be like an avatar in a space of people. But there are a lot more applications for VR, I think, outside of gaming that I think Facebook would be interested in as a social company. But...
I mean, I'm...
Your reaction is pretty...
Maybe I'll eat my words, but for now I'm playing the role of Agent Scully.
Yeah, no,
I'm skeptic. Sure.
Yeah, so...
You would, since you don't even use Facebook.
Oh.
So.
Whatever.
Bicker, bicker.
I waste my time in other ways. I'm not holier than thou.
Yeah. So I played VR. I've been playing it. I've tried it over the last 2 years, and I've seen how it's developed, and I've played a lot of, like, different, applications of it, or some games where you use a controller, and like some games where the perspective is first person, and some where it's like third. And I've seen like so many different applications of VR over the last 2 years. I think what really clicked for me was honestly Mare, and the sense when I played Mare, you are this mechanical owl
horse.
And like you are flying through this like ancient landscape, and you would land on all of these perches. And what clicked for me after all the VR that I've played was playing Mare, and like when I land on this perch, I'm on this huge, you know, staircase, and I'm like looking down, and I'm looking below, and there's like. And I'm on the ledge, right? And I look down and I see this like bottomless pit, and in my stomach, I feel like, oh my gosh,
you had that acrophobia.
I'm gonna fall over, you know. And the first time I've ever felt like I could, like I was in danger.
Because
like,
normally on a screen you can look to the left or to the right.
Yeah.
But now you can look up and down. As now
you just see the left and right of your perch.
Yeah, and I would like jump, and then I would feel my real human feet, and like, okay, I'm safe. Like, I'm not actually falling, you know. But like, that's
it's like watching a movie, where like it's like from first person perspective and you see it, you look down and realize how high up you are versus, you know, like a ride at Universal Studios where the seat actually moves and you're looking at a screen.
Yeah.
But then you feel that.
And it's just so much more immersive, and like that's where VR clicked for me, and I feel like that's so cool. I mean, one, that's why I'm not playing Resident Evil 7.
Sandra, why?
Because it's way too scary. It's way too...
It's too real.
Yeah.
Immersive. Yeah. Like...
You get the sweaty palms.
Like, I can't handle playing it on a TV screen. Mm-hmm. There is no way I'm going to be able to play it.
You don't want it realer than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way too real. All
right.
Yeah, so to kind of... I feel like there's a lot more conversation we could have on this. And I'm sure we'll return to this topic at some point as we get more information about the Nintendo Switch, as VR kind of becomes more developed. Oculus coming up with their own control. It's a whole thing. But I want to end with you, Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marcus McKenna and myself, we dig in the weeds with this stuff. You know, we've all sought out specifically, you know, VR experiences. We've all sought out, you know, specific information about not only what, you know, the Switch is about, but then, you know, what's coming, and we, this is the world we live in. But for you, you represent everyone outside of that circle, which is the vast majority
but
of people
still in the trust
circle. Still in the trust circle.
Still in the trust circle.
Thank heavens.
We're not picking you out just yet. So, prior to this conversation, mm-hmm. was there a sense that games, or even just technology in general, has been changing from, I don't know, think about when you were growing up, maybe like 10 years old to now. Not like the amount, but just like the ways we experience.
I mean, I think those questions are interconnected because
the
technology has changed and we also experience it more. Like, I mean, like, you know, shallow answer, like, duh. Deeper answer, like, yes, because now, like, it's become denser. And that, this seems to be the trend from the past century until now, is that the farther along we advance with technology, the more data, computing power, you know, power, lifespan we can pack into a smaller space. So, what's it that way? So, you know, now you can store on a flash drive what it used to take a whole server room to store.
Yeah, I saw a terabyte hard drive that was smaller than a Pop-Tart yesterday.
Oh my gosh, that's... Yeah, and I know we even talked about, I think, maybe yesterday,
mm-hmm.
even, just the fact that we used to have those portable DVD players,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
we thought that was so cool.
We were
and
like, whoa,
dude.
DVD TV.
Yeah. Only the richest kids have those.
Yeah.
I mean,
or the kids who sold all of their magazines for the school fundraisers.
Yeah.
It's funny because who has one of those anymore?
Yeah.
Like, nobody. And furthermore, like, we're just getting used to technology. And the more we get used to it, the more we're going to seek out novel ways of experiencing it. And the more we seek out novel ways of experiencing it, by the virtue of the passage of time, the more advancements have been made. So it's a positive feedback loop, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty interesting, but also I think it's a poignant. Is that the right...
I mean, I'm coming
poignant.
From a little bit of a crotchety point of view, having just watched Black Mirror and been like,
yeah.
I don't watch screens!
No.
I want to get away from screens!
But, you know, I think Black Mirror wouldn't exist if this positive feedback loop weren't happening.
Black Mirror would not have been possible 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
It's because of the inundation of technology that makes Black Mirror as compelling as it is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a good final question is, and I'll open it up to everybody, but like, do you think there's a point where we're just going to flatline in our progression of technology where we've invented almost everything that where we've reached the pinnacle of all of our processing power, blah blah blah, or if it's just gonna keep going up and just keep raising
I
raising
mean,
that
we
that
might
bar.
Flatline due to just the restraints of this physical world. Like
yeah.
I don't know technology enough to understand how much you can put on What are those green things called in computers?
Computer chips.
Okay. Computer chips. Can we put? What's the?
Yeah.
Guacamole.
What's the magic?
Oh yeah.
Like think about cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first cars, you know, they reach what, 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And they blaze run on, you know, freaking
fool
diesel.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah. Like now, for the past half a century or so, cars have pretty much been the same. We've like kind of flatlined. And also, I'm sure in other ways we totally haven't.
Well,
like, I'm speaking as a non-knowledgeable person.
Yeah, I think for a long time we were on a plateau. But I think we're actually about to take another climb now.
Well,
with
like self-driving?
With the fuel cells.
Sustainable fuels.
With self-driving.
Sorry.
With things like Tesla, you know, kind of just upping the ante on a lot of the revamping a lot of technologies that have existed. But for the last few decades, I think we absolutely have kind of been at a plateau.
I mean, same thing with trains.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with
aeroplanes.
Like, maybe, because, yeah, like, maybe there will be a breakthrough. But the thing is, I feel like a lot less people are interested in developing that.
Yeah.
Like, then.
The problem
games,
with something,
they,
well.
I'm speaking out my room.
What do you think, Marcus?
I feel. So, I feel like the potential for technology and its expansion is in some ways boundless.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I did a really long report
mm-hmm.
on quantum computing, and if they figure that out, then that will change so many things.
Sandra, I hear the word quantum, like in physics, and what does quantum mean?
So, quantum theory and
a good end of the show topic to hit.
Yeah,
it's okay. Diving really fast.
So,
it deals with very, very, very small objects. And
so basically, have you heard of Schrodinger's cat?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so man, this is a great Sandra to kind of. Oh my gosh! So Schrodinger's cat is the idea of, like, something that can be two things at once.
Dead and alive.
Dead and alive, basically.
Look up a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Or watch Bioshock Infinite video.
Yeah, so I don't want to get into that, but going into quantum computing, so you know how a computer, like, everything is based off of a 1 and a 0.
Binary,
yes.
Binary.
So all of our computers are these little on-off switches,
mm-hmm.
either 1 or 0,
mm-hmm.
and everything that we see is just based off of these little switches. So we're kind of limited
mm-hmm.
because all of these on-off switches that are called bits,
mm-hmm.
Like, they can only be these kind of two values. What quantum computing is, and what they're trying to figure out now, is how we could have bits that can be either or at the same time, both 1 and 0.
Ah.
And so if they can figure that out, then our processing power and our computer power just goes up exponentially.
Yeah. It wouldn't double. It would exponentially
double.
It's not just things. It's not just, you know, it's not things being yes and no. It's every single bit being yes and or no, and like, yeah, that would open an entire door. I personally don't think that we'll see that in our lifetime.
So they've made a lot of progress, though.
We have. I personally think that in our lifetime, I think we will hit a plateau.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in the future, I think we will probably get to that peak. It's not like I'm a quantum scientist. They could find out tomorrow, and I'm totally wrong. I just feel like in our lifetime, we will hit a plateau where we're going to. There will be progress, but it won't be the last 10 years have been crazy.
Yeah.
You know, thinking
yeah.
back to what phones were. We had
yeah.
smartphones
yeah.
10 years ago, but, you know, what a smartphone was 10 years ago is nothing like what it is now.
Snake and email. That was smartphones.
Yeah, like, BlackBerry still existed 10
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
you know, so we'll see increases, but I think it won't be what the last decade has been. But in terms of gaming, I think we're reaching a new
frontier.
You know, with the rise of indie developers and that becoming viable at the level it is now, I think we're going to see a lot more creativity. You know, we just hit VR. So even if it never really breaks into mainstream gaming, like, the creativity that provides is huge. So I think for gaming, we're about to hit a whole new revolution. But as far as technology itself, I think we're gonna hit a wall for the time being. Marcus found something hilarious right now, and I'm not sure what it is.
Your socks.
Oh, yeah, my size socks.
Devin has size socks. This
gentleman,
our friend in Korea.
These are from Korea. These are straight from the source.
That's great.
Cool.
So, I'll give McKenna as our guest. I'll give you the final word. Just any thoughts? You know, just wrap things up. Do you think, you know, technology-wise, do you think we're going to continue seeing this great proliferation of ways and possibilities of experiencing media, or do you think we're going to just either be stalled by technology or just we don't really need anything new?
Well, you know, as they say, nothing is written. I mean, you know, way far back when we had, you know, Dick Tracy had the little radio watch thing and, you know, that sort of stuff. And now we have those.
Yeah.
Way far back when they had little computer chip phone thingies that, you know, just flip through and touch it and stuff, you know, that sort of thing. Now we have those.
They used to have car phones. Now you can't get people to put their phones away in a car.
No, they're illegal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just so much stuff we actually don't know leading up to the future. Personally, I'm optimistic. I really actually hope tech continues to actually develop more and more and more. I just hope it never actually gets to that point where we stop basic human contact.
Yeah.
In replacement for TV screens in our brains or something.
We don't know Wall-E ourselves.
Yeah, Wall-E ourselves. Oh, gosh.
A world of glass holes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just... I mean, I hope technology develops. I just hope it doesn't get to that point where we turn into Wall-E.
Yeah.
At some point, ethics are going to come in a big way. Well, any other final comments, or should we wrap this puppy up?
This makes me just want to go, like, read a book in the dark.
Just go light some candles.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah, I'm excited for technology, but... I mean, this right here, like, we're sitting in a room talking. I don't want to lose this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think that just comes down to being aware. Like, technology is great, but it's not a replacement for us as humans who are social creatures, who need social and physical interaction to lead healthy lives.
Yeah, we're mammals, we're not robots.
Yeah. Not yet, anyway. Well, on that lovely, that's hopeful.
It's kind of hopeful.
We'll see. On that note, we're going to wrap the show up. I would like to thank McKenna for joining us as our guest.
Thank you.
And
it was a pleasure.
Thank you, Kara, for joining us last week. And who knows what guests we'll have in the future.
I know.
Spoiler alert, it'll be a mammal.
It'll probably be a mammal. We can interview Siri.
Interview Siri. She ain't no mammal.
If, no.
Cortana.
We'll see what adventures we get into. Well, thank you for sticking through with us for yet another episode. We made it through 8.
I thought this was number 9.
I think
I don't know anymore.
It's 8. It's 8.
Okay.
It's 8. I haven't done, yeah.
Yeah. It is eight.
Glad we hashed that out.
Anyway, number 9.
As always, if you have any questions, any feedback, any fan art, you can send all of that into podcast.
No! TrustCircle at TopShelfGaming.net.
I always get it wrong. Send all that into TrustCircle at TopShelfGaming.net. TrustCircle, circle with an S, but if you spell it with a C, that's alright, we got you. We would love to hear from you. We would still love to start doing listener questions as a segment.
Yeah.
Also, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter. Follow us there. Read our awesome articles. McKenna's written some. Mark has written some. I've written like 1. Valerie, we'll get you on there someday.
Kicking and screaming. No, I'm just kidding. Marcus.
But with that...
Well, also... Oh,
surprise.
We're on iTunes. Please...
Oh, yes.
Please subscribe. Please rate us. Please... Like, ratings are really, really helpful because it helps us get better. It also helps us get discovered. We are still growing and we could use as much support as possible. So if you are listening right now and you're on a computer and you are not driving, please just spend 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and just give us a quick rating. We would be so thankful. And with that, I want to say goodbye, and we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Always.
See you next week.
Your pets.
Hi, right. Mom.
Hi, Mom. Forgot to say that.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.